And we want to thank Conexus Church out of Canada for allowing us the opportunity to borrow their worship. And I think that's a neat opportunity for all of us here. All right. Well, welcome again. You know, I've got a serious question for you. About the idea of the prayer of Jabez. Prayer of Jabez is found in a portion of scripture that we usually don't find ourselves reading much. We have First Chronicles. My apologies. My notes are not for this sermon, so we're going to toss that aside. But it comes from First Chronicles. The first five, nine chapters of First Chronicles is a whole bunch of begets. And so we get the, and so-and-so, and so-and-so, and so-and-so. In fact, the very first verse of the very first chapter of First Chronicles starts at the beginning of the world. It starts with talking about Adam and Eve and Seth and Noah. The descendants of Adam were Seth, Enosh, Kenan, Mahalalel, Jared, Enoch, Methuselah, Lamech, and Noah. The sons of Noah were Shem and Ham and Japheth. And so it continues on and goes through not only from the beginning of the world, but goes on through the start of Israel and then to the tribe of Judah and then finally to David. And the reason and purpose of this was Ezra was setting up a line that showed the messianic line of Jesus Christ, right? And smack dab in the middle of this chapter, of this set of chapters, I should say, in chapter 4, verse 9 and 10, we find these two verses. Now Jabez was more honorable than his brothers, and his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bore him in pain. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that you would bless me indeed and enlarge my territory, that your hand would be with me, and that you would keep me from evil, that I may not cause pain. So God granted him what he requested. Now, in this list, there's 936 names in total, 828 men's names, 25 women's names, 25 city and town names. And I promise not to read all those names to you this morning. I guarantee that, not only for your sake, but also for mine. Some of these names can be quite challenging. But in the middle of these nine chapters, again, is a man that gives special honor. Thankfully, his name is short, so we don't have to call him Mehershalal Hashbaz. Right? His name is simply Jabez, pronounced Yabetz in Hebrew. Again, we find Jabez buried in a long list of genealogies. So-and-so was the father of so-and-so and ad infinitum. If I'm brutally honest, unless you are a biblical student, you're so bored by the time you reach Jabez that you almost skip over him. But there he is, like a shining star. 1 Chronicles 4, 9 and 10 again. Now Jabez was more honorable than his brothers, and his mother called him his name Jabez, saying, because I bore you in pain. These two verses, that's it. Just 70 words in all of that text. This text has been referred to as the shortest of the Bible biographies there are. So what's so special about this guy Jabez? I think it's significant that what Jabez is remembered for is not some outstanding achievement or some outstanding event. He did not win a great battle or erect a great building. He simply prayed a simple prayer. But of all the people in the nine chapters list of characters here, he alone is lifted out because of that prayer. In the year 2000, a little book by Bruce Wilkinson called The Prayer of Jabez was published. It sold over 9 million copies, received multiple awards. Its popularity started a movement that drew much criticism, though. Wikipedia states that The Prayer of Jabez became very popular, to where some were using it in a repetitive manner. Some took it to excess, using the prayer in an almost superstitious way, believing it to be a sign of health and wealth and prosperity. They just repeated it over and over and over again. I don't believe that God intended the prayer to be used that way, some kind of magic potion for health and wealth and prosperity, but rather as a model for us all to pray, just as Jesus did when he gave us the Lord's Prayer, the prayer that we're more familiar with. See, it turns out Jabez was just an ordinary man who prayed an extraordinary prayer to an extraordinary God and got extraordinary results for the purpose. So let's look at this morning in a little bit greater detail now. Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. Now that's an important piece here about prayer, because if you're living in unrepentant sin, God does not hear you. Did you know that? John tells us in chapter 9, verse 31, we know that God does not listen to sinners. He listens to the godly person who does his will. Honorable, respected, greater, more distinguished. Something separated Jabez between him and his brothers. What was the difference? We don't know much more about him. The name Jabez is only mentioned 3 times in all of the Bible. The first was 2 chapters earlier, 1 Chronicles 2:15, which is the name of a city called Jabez, and then twice in our 2 verses here. That's all we know about Jabez. Where in a genealogy you predominantly have a list of names, here you have something different. In this case, it's a place. It's interesting that 2 things you typically don't find in a list of genealogies, people and places, are right here and both have to do with this one person, Jabez. He was a descendant of Caleb, which gave him a great heritage and potential for success and greatness. His home was somewhere near Bethlehem, where spiritual giants like Ruth and Boaz lived, and eventually David, and even our Lord and Savior came from. If his brothers were really dishonorable, this might not even sound like that much, to be more honorable than your brothers. But it's probably safe to say, given this honorable mention here in this passage, that Jabez was an above normal person of honor. Then goes on to say his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bore him in pain. Notice his mother named him, not his father. In biblical times, it was the custom for the father to name the child. Maybe his father had died. Perhaps his father had abandoned his mother. For whatever reason, his mother named him Jabez. Jabez's mother bore him in pain. We're not told exactly what that means. It could be there was great pain in childbirth. It could be the mother was a widow when he was born. It could be that his mother felt bad that she was bringing a child into the world in such troublesome times. It could be his mother was mourning the loss or death of her husband. It could be that Jabez was even born with a birth defect. Who knows? We don't know. Whatever the cause, his mother scarred him for the rest of his life with the name of causes pain. Now, in the actual Hebrew, the word means grieve. How about carrying that name around with you? What does your name mean? Oh, pain and grief. All right, nice. That is not a name you'd want to hang around you. Maybe his brothers teased him about his name growing up. Maybe they pretended to be in pain whenever he walked into the room. Maybe they called out to him, hey, Jabez, you're a real pain. You know that? He must have heard these things all through his life. Was God telling him he was doomed to a life of pain, so he better get used to it? No, whatever negativity Satan might have tried to convince him with, he wasn't buying it. He was going to cry out. He was going to cry out to his God. He didn't believe that God had rejected him. He believed that God wanted to bless him and would bless him if it was his will. He wanted to believe that he had just as much opportunity to be blessed as anyone else, regardless of his name. And how would he ever know? How would he ever receive those blessings unless he went to God and he asked for them in the first place? Perhaps you're here too, today, or watching online. And you've carried a negative label around with you, and you wonder if you're ever going to be able to shake it off. You can rise above it and become an honorable person despite whatever name you've carried up till now. You may even someday have a town named after you. See, Jabez, again, isn't only a person, he's a place. 1 Chronicles 2:55, and the clans of scribes who lived at Jabez. So it was a community. And according to Jewish tradition, Jabez was an eminent doctor of the law, whose reputation drew so many scribes around him that they created a town by his name. If this is accurate, we can gain just an understanding of just how much honor was in the name of Jabez. He rose above the title of pain and misery to achieve lofty goals. These 2 verses go on, and Jabez called on the God of Israel. Jabez states God's lordship and headship over his life. When we pray, we should begin always by acknowledging who God is. We first find this term called on the Lord or called on the God of Israel in Genesis 4:26. And as for Seth, to him also a son was born, and he named him Enosh. And then men began to call on the name of the Lord. Psalm 50:15, call upon me in day of trouble. I will deliver you and you shall glorify me. Jeremiah 33:3, call to me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you do not know. I find it interesting that this one verse in Joel 2:32, and it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved, was quoted by Peter when he was giving the famous sermon there at Pentecost. Acts 2:21, and it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. There's something powerful about calling on the name of the Lord. So he calls on God and says, oh, that you would bless me indeed. Oh, that you would bless me. How often have you prayed that prayer? Bless is a word we often use in various situations. We say it as a blessing over our meals. We say it to somebody when they sneeze, right? But do we know what it means to ask for a blessing? The Hebrew word here for bless means to ask for supernatural or divine favor from God. Being truly blessed is when God looks upon you and is pleased with you. Jabez not only recognizes God as the one and only true God, he also acknowledges that blessings come from God alone as well. And being confident in God's ability to bless him, Jabez calls upon him to do something supernatural in his life. He wanted God's very best, and he also believed that God wanted to give him that very best. Notice he said, bless me indeed. Putting the word indeed is like putting 5 exclamation points at the end. Bless me, bless me, bless me, bless me, bless me. He really wanted these blessings. He sought the blessing of God that he might be a blessing to the world. There's nothing wrong with praying for God to bless you if it's for the purpose of being a blessing yourself. The Bible tells us our whole reason for existence. You want to know why you're here? Why you're placed on this earth in the first place? The Bible says our whole reason is to be a blessing to God and a blessing to the world. That's it. To be a blessing to God and a blessing to others. When we pray for God to bless ourselves or other people or even our nation, we're asking God to pour out his divine power, his supernatural power into our lives. Is that what you're praying for when you say, God, bless me? Are we even ready for that if we pray that prayer? Then he goes on and says, and enlarge my territory. Enlarge my territory. Was Jabez dissatisfied with what God had given him? Was he greedily crying out, I want something more? I don't think so. On the surface, his prayer does appear to be selfish. He's asking blessing for himself. Enlarge my territory. Give me more. Keep me from experiencing harm and pain. But God is not in the business of granting selfish prayers. He's not about catering to people's selfish desires. See, this tells me that if Jabez's desire was for selfish gain, he wouldn't have gotten what he had asked for. So the request to enlarge his territory couldn't have been a greedy request. It is thought that Jabez and his people were battling with the Canaanites at that time. So the understanding is that here he's asking God to be victorious, allowing him to be victorious. But it wasn't about just having more land, about more victory. It was his motive for having more. James chapter 4, verse 2 and 3, you desire, but you do not have, so you kill. You covet, but you cannot get what you want, so you quarrel and fight. You do not have because you do not ask God. And when you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. Remember, we have the first statement to help us see Jabez's character. He was more honorable than his brothers. So this tells me that when we're honorable, we will be blessed. We'll be given what we ask God for. When we're striving to live a holy lifestyle, we put ourselves in a position to receive blessings. We don't strive to be honorable for the purpose of receiving blessings, for that motive would be dishonorable. See, God promises provision, not prosperity, as some mistakenly believe. It's important to remember when studying Jabez that it's God answers the prayer of the people by his will, not our wishes. The aim is for God to transform our hearts to be like his so that we can endure the trials of this life. Our motive must be to please God and to give him praise, not for our glory, but for his, not for our gain, but for his kingdom's gain. Jabez asking God to expand his territory meant he was ready for God to move him outside of his comfort zone and conquer new territories. He wanted a new, larger sphere of influence, a sphere of responsibility, a sphere of ministry in his life. Are we willing to have God do the same in our lives? Now, as we nod yes, be careful how you answer that. Are we ready to have God expand our spiritual lives? Are we ready to be more involved in ministry than we already are? Are we ready for more responsibility? And one of the things I pray for my children and my grandchildren is that they might be used by God in a mighty way in this world. I'm praying that they would have a passion for serving God and that he would give them the necessary tools in order to serve them. I'm also praying that prayer for you. I do not want this church to be a country club with a pulpit and a potluck time. Rather, I want us all to be his people, being used by him in a world that needs him so very, very desperately. I want us to live for more than ourselves and our own personal interests. And I pray that our lives would be used up in serving God by serving the needs of others. I want us to be a part of what God is doing in this world around us. And make no mistake, COVID has taken a lot out of us, not only here in this city, in the state, in our country, but the world at large. But also, again, make no mistake that God is sovereign. God is in control, and he knows what he's doing. In asking God to enlarge our territory, we're asking him to expand our ministry opportunities. We're asking him to increase our influence for the gospel. We're asking God to bring us further and to deeper, to reach people outside of our current territory. We're asking God for the increase in our ability to reach more people and to do great things for his glory. Amen. You know, the story is told of a king who wanted to honor a gentleman. And he said, you know, you've done some special things. I want to give you this. You tell me the territory in my kingdom and it'll be yours. So man thought, came back, and he drew a circle all around himself. And the king says, is that it? That's all you want? Everything that's inside that circle? No, sir. I want everything that's outside that circle. What if we were to pray that prayer about Colton? The Inland Empire. We want to be of service to you. Expand our territory beyond what we're doing now so that we can be of use to you. Are you living only for yourself today? That's not a question I ask only of you. It's a question of myself as well. Or are we wanting God to use us and use our life in this world? Do you want to be a blessing by God, to be a blessing both to God and others? Then we need to pray for God, just like Jabez, to enlarge our life, to enlarge our sphere of influence, asking for something so big that we cannot possibly do it ourselves. Ask him to enlarge your territory. He then goes on and says that your hand would be with me. Of course, Jabez would pray for God's hand to be with him. If you're going to pray for God to increase your territory, to increase your influence with others, you better pray for his hand to be with you. Jabez knew that if God's hand wasn't with him, he would not be successful. Think about this. What would you pray if you knew that you could not fail? What is God speaking to you about? Something that you've been ignoring. I don't have the time, God. I don't have the skills. I don't have the talent. What is God speaking to you about which you've been ignoring? What have you dreamed about but dismissed because you thought it was an impossible dream? Well, we need to begin to pray for the hand of God to be upon our lives so that you can accomplish great things for him. Hopefully it will be something so great that when it comes to pass, you and everybody else will have to say, that had to be the hand of God because there's no way I could have done it myself. Then he says, I have this quote for you. Blessings will become curses if it's not God's hand providing and guiding. Blessings will become curses if God's hand is not in it. Psalm 37, 23-24 says this, the Lord directs the steps of the godly. He delights in every detail of their lives. Though they stumble, they will never fall, for the Lord holds them by his hand. Jabez prayed that God would expand his territory, and he knew he needed God's helping hand in order to be successful. He understood the power of God's hand to protect and to lead in the right direction. So then he adds this, and that you would keep me from evil. Basically, keep me from the harm and pain that evil causes. Again, as it made sense for Jabez to pray for God's hand to be with him, after asking God to enlarge his territory, it makes sense for him to pray to God to keep him safe from Satan. Why? Because whenever we dare to get serious about doing great things for God, I've seen it in my life, I've seen it in the life of this church and other churches, it's like we're poking a bear with a stick. When we're a threat to Satan's goals, we can be absolutely sure, not wonder about it, we can be guaranteed that he will be coming after us. So when Jabez asked that his boundaries be widened, he knew that he needed two things. He needed God's hand to be guiding him through it, and he needed God's hand to be protecting him through it as well. He knew that getting caught up in sin would impede the very work and blessings he asked God to give him. This honorable man did not want to dishonor God, so he asked to be protected from harm's way. He asked to be delivered from evil, but not just for himself. Notice the rest of it. That I may not cause pain. Now that's actually a play on words. His name, remember, means pain. And Jabez was also raised with a fear of causing pain, going through his entire life knowing that he was named causes pain. He didn't want to cause pain to others. He wanted his life to be a blessing. He wanted to be protected from the harm of evil, but he also wanted to be kept from sinning because he knew that it's sin that causes pain. Sin brings pain into the life of the one who commits it, obviously. And it brings pain into the lives of those whom the sin was committed against. But it also causes God pain. Did you know that? I mean, think of Joseph when he was tempted to be with Potiphar's wife. He said, God forbid that I would sin against my God. Now he was sinning, he would be sinning against Potiphar, but mostly in his mind, he was sinning against God. I think he was saying in Jabez's prayer, Lord, if you bless me indeed and you give me more territory to work in and your hand will be with me and you'll keep me from evil, then I promise that instead of hurting and disregarding people, that I will bless them also. And isn't that what blessings are all about in the first place? And then it goes on. So God granted him what he requested. Alone, it would have been a pretty impressive prayer so far. But here we read that God gave him all that he had asked. God granted his request because God knew Jabez's heart. He knew that Jabez's desire to expand was to be able to do more for his God. Does this mean God's granting Jabez's request that he would never have any trouble from that point forward? I'm sure not. It would have been a mistake for Jabez to think that it would, and we make that mistake as well, don't we? When God blesses us, we may think all our troubles will be over now. That's not true for us, and I'm not sure it was true for Jabez either. No doubt Jabez developed a habit of going to God each and every time trouble invaded his life in order to seek God's help. However, on the flip side, when God does bless us, we shouldn't be wondering when the bottom will drop out either. We should enjoy God's blessings without wondering whether they're going to stop or when are things finally going to start getting worse again. If we think that way, we will not be able to truly enjoy God's blessings in our life. Sometimes we don't enjoy God's blessings because, well, quite honestly, we feel unworthy of those blessings. And when we see someone else who isn't blessed, we feel guilty. But instead of feeling guilty, may we turn that around and be motivated to try and bless that other person. That's really what it's about. God blesses us so that in turn we will go and bless others. We don't need to feel guilty. We just need to feel inspired. Jabez had already seen God move into his life, and so it made perfect sense to go to God and pray this prayer to him. And God, seeing the respectable and honorable life that Jabez was leading, granted his request. God desires to give us good things. Jesus said so in Matthew 7, that if we know how to give good gifts to our children, how much more will God do that for his children? However, it's important to realize, especially for those who will misuse this prayer of Jabez, that our requests have to be in line with his will. 1 John 5:14-15, and we are confident that he hears us whenever we ask for anything that pleases him. And since we know he hears us when we make our requests, We also know that he will give us what we ask for. Notice there, whenever we ask for anything that pleases him, we need to know God's will in order to ask properly. There are other verses that say the same thing. 1 John 5:14. This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Romans 12:2. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good and pleasing and perfect will. We can be confident that if we are asking for is in accordance with the will of God, that we will have it. So as we conclude this morning on the prayer of Jabez, all in all, we aren't given much information to understand who Jabez really was. His prayer is recorded, but not his life story. And what's interesting is we know more about what he prayed than what he did. But hopefully we realize that within these two short verses, we can gain an understanding about what kind of person Jabez truly must have been. Jabez didn't hold back in his prayers, despite the meaning of his name, pain and grief. He knew God could do great things, and he called upon God to do something great in his life. We need to have the faith and believing in the greatness of God so that we too can be recipients of his wonderful blessings. When we learn to submit our will to God and pray like Jabez did, we'll begin to see God move in mighty ways. You know, Jabez, as we look at his prayer here on the slide, Jabez is known exclusively because of his prayer. He prayed intelligently. He called on the God of Israel. If you're going to pray to anybody, it better be the God of Israel, the Lord God himself. He prayed fervently. He passionately asked God to bless him indeed. He prayed ambitiously to enlarge my territory. He asked purposefully by asking God to protect him from evil and to guide him with his hand. And he obviously prayed effectively because God granted his request. And so this morning, as we look back over this prayer, as we look back over our life and the days of our lives to come, we need to ask ourselves, are we willing to do that? What are we praying for today? Would you join me in prayer this morning?